Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
Change is constant, and in business, sometimes you see it coming and sometimes you don't. Recently, there have been stories about a slowing of the economy and a rise in insolvencies, and we've talked about this in recent shows. I'm Janet Eastman, and this month on the Trade Securely Podcast, my guest is Michelle Davey. She's president of Credit Assure, and Michelle is based in Montreal. She's here to provide an overview of what she sees happening in the market and what her customers are telling her. Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast, Michelle. Good to speak to you.
Thank you, Janet. Nice to speak to you as well.
So I know that you have been in the receivables insurance industry for a long time, but you have kind of a varied background. So provide a little bit of a background so people understand how long you've been in the industry and what you've actually done in the industry.
Okay, I've been in the industry almost 20 years now, but prior to that, I was a credit manager, and we'd lived a variety of experiences depending on the company I was with, which eventually led to me becoming an underwriter and then a broker and so on. So here you have it. I've been around for quite some time, and thoroughly enjoying what I do.
You've seen the landscape from sort of all points of view, haven't you?
Yes, actually. Yes, I was a credit manager in the 90s when we went through a recession at that time, and then an underwriter in the early 2000s, and I never looked back after being on the sales side. Really and truly, my idea was to help companies avoid the pitfalls of becoming bankrupt themselves.
Right.
When there's an insolvency.
Yeah. So you have a perspective from both sides. You've seen the sands shift many times. So we spoke a few weeks ago and you indicated that you'd seen a recent uptick in interest for receivables insurance from your clients. So what's actually fueling that interest?
Well, we don't know for certain. However, I know that our insurers are seeing an increase in claims. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there. The economists are all speaking toward a recession in 2020 or a slowdown. We never know until it actually happens what the impacts will be. But I think that that could be fueling the interest, and so yes, we're getting from all industries, we're seeing a renewed interest.
Right, and we've been warned that insolvencies are going to be increasing. Are you seeing the impact of that? I know you said you've seen more claims from your clients, but what about actual insolvencies?
Well, that's just it. The product protects against insolvency and payment default. And yes, in fact, we are seeing a few more insolvencies than what we would normally see. Very often, the product is used for the non-payment portion. And that seems to be fairly stable, but the insolvencies are on the rise from what I can see.
Mm-hmm. Now, with regards to bankruptcies, there's something called preferential debt payments that a business's creditors really should be aware of. So what should businesses know about these payments? Because I know you have an interesting story about this.
Well, yes, actually, I do. A few of our clients we're dealing, I don't even know if I can say the industry, but with a certain a group of companies. And the group of companies had lost some class action lawsuits, which then... and this is a theory only, that they decided to use the insolvency laws as a management strategy per se. So they all filed for creditor protection. In doing so, they told our policyholders that as suppliers, they would be paid, even the portion that was prior to the insolvency. So when upon discussions with our clients that are dealing with these companies, what we suggested very strongly to them was, let's make the claims anyway, because the next step for that group of companies is to go to the Supreme Court and get another judgment. So they're appealing, which means that it could take a couple more years. And by the time we see what actually comes of it, if they lose again, they could very well, and you know, it's not 100%, but they could very well turn around and say, okay, we were insolvent, and therefore those payments we made to suppliers were preferential payments, pay that money back. So the trustee could, in fact, come back on my policyholders at a future date and claim back the monies that they should probably not have paid out. So that was our recommendation to the clients. Make a claim, even though you're being paid. We will explain this to the insurance companies, and you can actually tell the insurance companies that you're being paid. But what we're actually protecting is the eventuality that there's a second loss in the lawsuit and any ramifications that may come from that.
So I'm going to ask you to just clarify a couple of things. So sure. your clients would have been paid by these companies, but they yes. also file a claim just in case, you know, 3, 4, 5 years or whenever this judgment comes down again, just in case the creditors don't come back and say those were preferential payments. So they get paid, sure. but they've also filed a claim and it just sort of sits there waiting just in case. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Wow. Now, you know what? That's something that I'd never heard of. And I imagine most businesses would be completely unaware of. They would think, great, I got paid. You know, that's done and dusted. We're good, right? But that's not the case.
It could very well be that these were preferential payments and the trustee is within the rights to request that money back. So, you know, that's one of the things we need to, you know, we need to sometimes think outside of the box, what could happen next. And really, with this group of companies, it's something that, frankly, I haven't seen before in those terms exactly, but it could happen. So it was a preventative claim.
That's a scary prospect when you think, you know, you think it's all sorted and X years later, somebody comes along and says, give me that money back. Like,
yeah,
wow, that's very, very scary.
And what we're seeing in the US most frequently with preferential payments is the 90 days leading up to the insolvency. The supplier gets paid, finally the debtor becomes insolvent, and the trustee goes after those 90 days worth of payments. We do see that a lot happening in the U.S. I can't say that we see it as much in Canada, although it is part of the law as well in Canada. They can do that. But like I said, those companies are pretty savvy and have some really good legal teams. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to outthink anyone. We're just trying to protect our clients.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of challenges that a supplier can come under when a customer is in financial trouble. So some companies have been known to use some pretty heavy tactics to keep supplies coming in, even though they could be just days away from filing for a bankruptcy. You've seen this happen. You've had people, I think, as a credit manager, kind of threaten you, haven't you?
Yes, actually. I have a really funny story. And I think I can probably release the name of the entity here because it's so long ago. But when I was a credit manager, we were dealing with Eaton's. And Eaton's filed twice. The first time in 1997, they filed, they paid suppliers 100 cents on the dollar. And then they went a second time a couple of years later. And the company I was working for had continued to deal with them, but on a COD basis. And we couldn't get insurance on this risk. It just wasn't going to happen until the company emerges from bankruptcy protection. And even then, I couldn't get credit insurance, so it just did not give me a whole lot of comfort. So at some point, the buyer got in touch with me, heard that I was the one holding up the orders because of we wanted to get paid prior to the shipments going out. And so she called and said, "We will remember you, Michelle Davey." And, you know, and it's it was a little nerve-wracking, I must say, but we held strong. And sure enough, within a month or two, they were bankrupt. So, you know, these suppliers have a debtors, those that feel that they have the power against their suppliers will exercise some pretty heavy duty tactics so that they can get their merchandise in and so that they can hopefully survive. At least that's what I think they're trying to do. They're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. But the supplier is very often in a very uncomfortable spot. So when my clients call me with that type of reaction, and we've seen it happen with some others, and here I won't name them because they're a lot more recent, you know, we give them the tools to work with. We'll give them the advice on how to handle that type of situation. Now, naturally, the decision-making power is still in their hands. They get to choose, but we're here as an outsider, not in the thick of it, to help them actually navigate these tough waters.
Yeah, and you also might, just based on your access to information, have more visibility of what is actually going on that they're not aware of.
And that can happen. Very often we don't just have one client with a claim against a specific debtor. We may have several policyholders who are dealing with the same people, and you know, we're seeing it from several sides.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to shift gears a little bit and talk about some of your clients that are exporters and some that are just starting to export. What advice do you give to them when they begin moving their business to other countries?
Well, it depends on how savvy the company is, but my first and foremost, my recommendation would be deal with the experts. Deal with someone who knows what they're talking about. We have partner companies or, you know, friends of Credit Assure that actually help some of our clients when prompted. Okay, my client has to ask me for a resource before I will refer them to somebody else. But there are companies that can help you set up companies in other areas, other countries. You know, there's a lot of services that are available to those who want to start exporting, and including some of our insurers who have a great deal of knowledge on local economies and various countries. So, and I can't single out one insurance company because several of them actually do have economic reports on local levels and some pretty interesting countries. So, but yes, deal with the experts. That is exactly the right way to go to avoid pitfalls. And, you know, just like in credit, check references, make sure that you're dealing with someone who you're comfortable dealing with, that's not going to mislead you.
Right. I guess, I mean, exporting would be one of those huge activities where you have to really understand your landscape to make sure you've got your bases covered. And it's probably a great challenge to try and do that on your own. So having that expert advice where you can just say, what does this mean? Or what's going to happen if I do this? That's going to help people move their businesses forward.
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things we tend to look for in accounts receivables insurance is the political risk. you know, that can have an impact on whether you will be paid, no matter how willing your client is to pay you. Maybe you can't get the currency out of the country anymore, or, you know, there's a number of items that could go wrong. So deal with the experts, whoever that might be. And like I said, we're always willing to help our clients with knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What other concerns do your clients have right now?
My clients are actually very happy because they have their insurance policies. So they are fairly comfortable. We do get a lot of questions on, why is this debtor refused, or you know, what's going on? So that's more of what we're seeing these days. How come I can't get an approval on such and such a client? You know, what we're telling them is pull a credit report. Let's have a look at it together. And we'll go through the items of the credit report one by one to see exactly what, you know, is this a good risk? Isn't this a good risk? If we do see something positive that's worth bringing to the insurer, we'll send it to the insurer and challenge their decision. So that, you know, that is a lot of what's going on these days. But yeah, we're helping our clients and better understand their clients and what's going on in those scenarios.
Right. What are some of the key things that you're telling your clients to watch for in the coming months?
Okay, signs of impending doom, slowness in payments, which is a sign of, you know, little to no cash flow or losses. That payment performance is key to certain things. Again, I'll bring you back to Eaton's. We hadn't seen a slowdown in their payment trend, so that's not always the precursor to an insolvency. But I do have an interesting example. One of my clients was in the lumber industry selling to a pallet manufacturer, and the pallet manufacturer was being funded by a U.S. bank. He couldn't get traditional financing here in Canada. The credit limit kept going higher and higher and higher, whereas the insurer had stopped increasing the credit limit. And they were waiting for financial statements in order to do so. At the end of the day, the bank in the U.S. Went into receivership, and the bank went bankrupt. So they called all the loans, or the trustee called all the loans. The pallet manufacturer had to follow suit and go bankrupt. And my client was left holding a debt of $600,000, 200 of which was covered, 400 of which was not. So another thing we're telling people is be cautious. If you want to overship your credit limit, you can, but by all means, make sure that you're comfortable doing so. So his bank looked at him twice and said, never again. You are not going to exceed those credit limits.
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that is
sadly.
That is a cautionary tale. So it just goes to show you, you don't really know what could come up at any given time, right? So
exactly. We've seen a lot of interesting cases in credit insurance. It's been a very interesting career path for me. And I must say, you know, even today, as much experience as I have, we're still learning new things and we're still seeing new things. And you know, it's a very colorful world, if you will.
Well, and I guess that's what keeps it interesting.
It sure does.
Yeah. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. We really appreciate you sharing your experiences and your insights with the Trade Securely audience.
Thank you, Janet. I really appreciate this opportunity.
My pleasure. That's our show for this week. Please check out our Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook feeds and subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues through iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Until next time, I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Trade Securely Podcast.
The Trade Securely Podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada, whose member companies help Canadian businesses succeed and grow securely.